Scripture reading today is Gospel of John, chapter 4. Scripture reading is John, chapter 4, verses 27 to 35. 日本語でヨハネによる福音書4章27からここ35までですけれども39節までお読みします。この時弟子たちが帰ってきてイエスが女の人と話しておられるのを不思議に思った。しかし誰も何を求めておられるのですかとも、なぜ彼女と話しておられるのですかとも言わなかった。女は自分の水瓶を置いて町へ行き、人々に言った。来て見てください。私のしたこと全部を私に言った人がいるのです。この方がキリストなのでしょうか。そこで彼らは町を出てイエスの方へやってきた。その頃弟子たちはイエスに、先生、召し上がってくださいとお願いした。しかしイエスは彼らに言われた。私にはあなた方の知らない食物があります。そこで弟子たちは互いに言った。誰か食べるものを持ってきたのだろうか。イエスは彼らに言われた。私を使わした方の御心を行い、その御業を成し遂げることが私の食物です。あなた方は借り入れ時が来るまでにまだ4ヶ月あると言ってはいませんか。さあ私の言うことを聞きなさい。目を上げて畑を見なさい。色づいて借り入れるばかりになっています。すでに狩る者は報酬を受け、永遠の命に入れられる実を集めています。それは蒔く者と狩る者が共に喜ぶためです。こういうわけで、一人が種をまき、他のものが刈り取るということわざは本当なのです。私はあなた方に自分で労苦しなかったものを刈り取らせるためにあなた方を使わしました。他の人々が労苦して、あなた方はその労苦の実を得ているのです。さて、その町のサマリア人のうち多くの者が、あの方は私がしたこと全部を私に言ったと証言したその女の言葉によってイエスを信じた。
Good morning again. Okay, let's try that again. Good morning again. Good morning. Hi, hi. Yeah. How about we practice smiling today? Let's all try smiling. Yes? Okay, good. Because, there you go, Jim. Thank you. Today we're going to finish up the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Last week we talked about worship and what it means to be true worshipers, and that God is seeking after true worshipers. I still find that very fascinating, that God is seeking true worshipers, and I'm glad you're here this Sunday morning. This is just one of many indicators that you are true worshipers. This is a good place to be on a Sunday. Amen. I'm glad you're all here. I'm glad we're here. I'm sure you have a lot of different places you could have been, and a lot of different excuses you could have made. But you didn't. You chose to be here. And that is a good sign, one of many, that you are true worshipers. The week before that, we talked about living water. Springs and living water unto eternal life. Today we're talking about spiritual food. You guys heard of Chicken Soup for the Soul? Have you heard of that book? You know, it's a compilation of books where it inspires you. You cry sometimes reading the book. This is not Chicken Soup for the Soul. This is Meat and Potato for the Spirit. Now, many of us know how to feed our bodies. I love feeding my body, as you can tell. Feed it a little too much. We know maybe how to feed our minds. Feed our minds by going to school, reading books, etc., etc. But how does one go about feeding our spirit? How do you feed your spirit? That's an important question to know how to answer well. How do you feed your spirit? Because there are some hunger that food cannot quench, that a good book cannot satisfy. Have you ever been in that place where you're just hungry spiritually and don't know how to fill it? There's a void in you that goes unfulfilled no matter what you do. We're going to take a glimpse of what it looks like to be fed spiritually today. More than just spiritual disciplines. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying spiritual disciplines aren't a good thing. Surely they are. But as we see in this story today, the end of this story, Jesus gives us a revelation of what it means to eat spiritually. I'm going to pick the story up from verse 28. It says, "Then leaving her jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah?' They came out of the town and made their way towards him." We don't know a lot about the Samaritan woman. We know prior to meeting Jesus, she's had 5 husbands, and the person she's living with right now is not her husband. We also know that she might have had a spiritual hunger within her, because in her interaction with Jesus, she begins to ask Jesus, where are we supposed to worship? The Jews say Jerusalem, but our forefathers say this mountain, Gerizim. And this is just speculation, but here again, as she talks to the townspeople, they kind of believe her. They don't just brush her off as some woman that doesn't have any credibility. They actually believe her and come out. So there must have been something, I'm speculating, that made her credible within the townspeople, that they would believe her and come out. Something must have happened, and she must have been a good eyewitness to it. A credible eyewitness. I want to just point out that the Samaritan woman did just have a supernatural encounter with Jesus. And with that supernatural encounter with Jesus, she could not wait to tell people. She left her jar and ran back to the town to tell people. She went back to the town to tell people. I want to point out that each and every one of us who desires, hungers, and seeks for a spiritual experience, encounter with God, I believe you will receive it. In fact, what you seek, you will get. I believe that. And sometimes in God's grace, though, what we seek, we don't get. That's sometimes God's grace, because we're not seeking after the right things. But I do believe there's a spiritual principle that what you seek, you will find. That those are not my words. When you ask, you shall receive. When you seek, you will find. When you knock, the door will be open to you. I believe this woman was a seeker. She was seeking truth. She was seeking, where are we supposed to really worship? And in that seeking, asking, knocking, she comes right smack in face with the creator of this universe, the Word of God Himself, Jesus Christ. And He reveals to her that He is the Messiah. And that what you're seeking for true worship, it is not regulated to a place, but true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. But what you seek, you will find. If you desire and are seeking a true, genuine encounter with God, you will find it. Amen. It may not be the way you want it or when you want it, but if you're seeking it, you'll find it. In verse 31, it says, meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus, just finishing with the Samaritan woman, she leaves, his disciples come. And his disciples went into the town to buy food because they were hungry. And Jesus was at that place because he was hungry. But when the disciples come and says, here's some food, Jesus says, I have already eaten. I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus makes an interesting correlation here. This is what I mean when I talk about how to feed your spirit. This is a good place to begin that conversation. How do I feed my spirit? And here Jesus makes a correlation. Food for the body equals the will of God to our spirit. Food for the body is as equivalent as the will of God to our spirit. Just as our body needs food to function and be healthy, our spirit also needs food, and that food is to do God's will. To continue this correlation, our body will only function as well as we feed it. Our body will only function as well as we feed it. You are what you eat, they say. If you want to be a top-notch athlete, you cannot go and eat fast food every day. Right? If you're trying to excel bodily, then you got to watch what you eat. You got to eat stuff like kale and I don't know. I don't know what healthy people eat. No. But there are certain things you stay away from, even though they function as food. There's a lot about food that we could go into, just the addictive nature of sugar, etc., etc., etc. The GMOs in our food today, just how unhealthy we are with our food that we put into our body. But just as it is easy to see that you know, if you want to excel in your body, athletically, you put good food in your body. Same way, if you want to excel spiritually, you have to put good food in your spirit. And what do I mean by that? When we feed our spirit with the will of somebody else, that is putting junk food into your life, into your spirit. When we feed our spirit with the will of the flesh, that is like putting poison in your body, in your system. When you feed your body the will of Satan, you can and will become sick and even die. Your spirit, I'm talking about. Jesus says, my food is to do the will of the Father. He was feeding his spirit, not his body with the will of the Father, but his spirit with the will of the Father. When we live our lives by the desires of other people, peer pressure is one of those things. The American dream is another one of those things. That is not the will of God. The American dream is not the will of God. When people are pressuring you to do something, that is not the will of God, oftentimes. The will of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, that is not the will of God most of the time. And it goes without saying, the will of Satan, that is not the will of God. But when we continue to feed our spirit those things, our spirit becomes sick, ill, and can even die. So to really measure that in our lives, if you're having a hard time spiritually, and we all go through that, we all go through certain seasons, but if you are having a hard time spiritually, it's a good idea to evaluate whether your life is being led by God's will or the will of somebody else, or something else. Are you confident that what you are doing, where you are, that you are in the middle of God's will? Going back to the story here, the Samaritan, the woman at the well. This is one snapshot of what God's will looks like with Jesus' life. In 35 it says, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may be glad together. At this point in time in Jesus' life, the will of the Father was to sow and reap, was to reap what was sown. Now this is just one story. I'm not saying the will of the Father is to go out and evangelize all the time. Although evangelism is a part of God's will, this is just a snapshot. The thing is, Jesus knew God's will supernaturally. And I believe the disciples were blinded by what God's will was because of certain biases in their lives. Jesus rebukes his disciples for not having eyes to see the harvest field. And perhaps what was hindering his disciples were that they were in Samaria. The disciples thought they were just passing through Samaria because it was maybe the safest or fastest route to where they were going, but Jesus knew otherwise. They had to go through Samaria, it says. The beginning of this story, it says they had to go through Samaria. And the disciples could have been blinded because of their theological biases or their sociological biases. Theologically, they probably at that time didn't think the Messiah was for Samaritans or for anybody else who wasn't Jewish, right? That was very common in those days. Sociological biases is, well, they're Samaritans. They're our enemies. It's a woman. Jesus was not held back by any of these. In fact, he knew exactly what God's will was. It was to talk to this woman. And by talking to this woman, a whole town and village came to know Jesus. Amazing story. As Messiah. Jesus, having eyes to see, recognized that this place was a place of ripe harvest to reap. There is a time to sow and there's a time to reap, and knowing the difference between the two can make all the difference in the world, in our life. Knowing God, what God's will is, will make all the difference in the world, in our lives. Jesus, I don't think, is just blanket saying the harvest is plentiful. In context, in this situation, although they were in Samaria, I believe he was able to recognize that here, even in this place, the harvest is plentiful. Even in this place, a place where Jewish people would have thought they were so far from God, Jesus, when he walks in, recognizes that these people are ready for God. And I believe, at least for two reasons. One, supernaturally, it was given by God to Jesus, even though all other would indicate the opposite. Two, though, I believe Jesus recognized this because of what the woman said. Going back, it says, the woman asked Jesus, where are we supposed to worship? Just practically, if you're talking with somebody, and they bring up spiritual matter as you talk with them, that's a good indicator that they're hungry spiritually. That's an invitation to take him even further and deeper into who God is. On the other hand, if they are not interested in that at all, don't shove that in their face. Don't try to force that down their throat. They're obviously not ripe to harvest. That's what it means. When it comes to harvesting, there's a time to let the harvest mature before you reap it. I'm not a farmer, so I'm just... But that's just basic, right? You don't want to try to bring in the harvest prior to its maturation state. Here Jesus recognizes it was time. I may not be a farmer, but this is just, I mean, you could apply it to a lot of things in life, right? I mean, you could even apply it to cooking. I like cooking, so I'm going to apply it to cooking, if that's okay. In order to make good tri-tip, you got to season it well first. Okay, just the seasoning is key. But the cooking is important too. You don't want to take it out too early. And you don't want to leave it in too late. And you don't want to keep on checking either. Is it done? Is it done? Is it done? It'll take a lot longer for it to be done if you do that. And it might even ruin the thing. Practically speaking, in terms of sharing your faith with other people, you do not want to do that. Is it done? Is it done? Is it done? It's kind of annoying. What you do want to do is be sensitive and recognize if it's done, when it's done. If you're talking to a friend who does not know Christ, it's important to be sensitive to where they're at. Are they seeking? Are they wanting to know more? If they're not at that place, it's good to recognize that God, you work on them first before I bring it in. You continue to work on their heart because it is a spiritual thing. Bringing people to Christ is not necessarily our job to convict their hearts of sin. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job is recognizing, is the Holy Spirit convicting this person of sin? And if the Holy Spirit is convicting this person of sin, then it becomes our job. Let's bring it in. Let's give them the message. Let's bring in the harvest. Jesus, having eyes to recognize that this place was full and ripe for harvest. It says in 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I did. And it will go on to say that they also believed in him because they encountered Jesus themselves. Many Samaritans came to know Jesus as Messiah, not because of what the woman said, but that's important. Because that also brought people to know Jesus. What I mean is that's important is this. Each and every one of us, at one point in time, we will have a supernatural encounter with God in one way or another. And I hope you do seek that because it is available. In fact, let me repeat that again. I hope you seek that because it's available. To have a supernatural, powerful, genuine encounter with God is available to you. I can't stress that enough. And I can't stress that enough because there are those who are not of Christ who are actually encountering supernatural experiences because they desire it and are seeking after it, but they are not of Christ. I don't need to tell you that the occult and witchcraft and supernatural activity has been increasing 100-fold these last couple of years. You just flip on the television set and you see where Hollywood is pouring out their money and you know that there's something going on. They're pouring in millions and millions of dollars into these things. Not just Hollywood, not just the movies, but also in books, television, media. It's available. It's not this popular because nothing is happening. It's popular because things are happening, unfortunately. But let me just repeat, for those of us in Christ, just as it's available for those who are not seeking Christ and seeking other alternative kinds of supernatural experiences, that just as they seek it and find it, that for us it is also available. And I believe we are robbed of those things when we think it's not available. Christ died so that it can be available to us. The veil was torn open for us to receive and see for ourselves angels ascending and descending on Jesus. I kind of went on a bunny trail. Sorry. Let me bring you back in. But for every one of us who does have a genuine testimony of that happening, notice what the Samaritan woman did. She didn't hide it. She wasn't embarrassed by it, even though her situation was a little embarrassing. But she told everyone she could find and who would listen about it. And they too realized, hey, there's something going on. And a whole village came to know Christ that day. Because what the woman did, and also how Jesus revealed himself to those who are hungering and thirsting after these things. I want to close by saying this, that those of you who are hungering and thirsting for something more, there is something more available. There is. For those of us who have tasted and seen how good God is, there is more of that available. But the world we live in, and the environment we're a part of, everything will try to steer you away from that source of life. It will, from the will of God. You have at least four things trying to pull you away from the will of God. And it will take everything in us, every fiber, every strength, every ounce of strength we have, to seek after God's will. But let me tell you, once you begin to do God's will, there's nothing better. Your spirit would have like an adrenaline shot once it begins to do the will of God. Because it is so parched and hungry for it. I implore you, that it is available. Seek it. Find it. Partake in the will of God in your life. Let us pray. Father, I thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, making available to us, opening up the heavens through his own sacrifice to us, speaking directly to us. Jesus, we ask that you would fill us with the understanding and knowledge of your will, Father. And Father, I pray that you would give us the strength and courage to walk in it. I ask, Father, that you would begin to unveil truth to each and every one of us here. That we will begin to walk and do your will, feeding our spirit with doing your will, Lord. Understanding what it is and having the courage to do it, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I do rebuke the will of the flesh, the will of man, the fear of man that brings a snare. I rebuke the will of Satan in our life. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would begin to speak the will of God to us, that we would know it, and Father, that we would do it. That we would walk in it, Lord. We thank you so much. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.